If you have your Bibles, turn to probably the most read scripture here at Good News Church over our history. Well, that one too. John 10:10. People are calling out scriptures. You thought I was going to say Acts chapter 2 or chapter 4, you know. But John 10:10 is an awesome verse. And it's really a verse you have to know to understand the Bible and really to understand life. That if you don't know this verse, you'll get a lot of things mixed up. You'll blame things on God that He's not doing. And that's difficult. If you think God's doing something in your life and the enemy's actually doing it, you're not going to resist it. You're not going to stand against it. You're going to embrace it because you believe it's from God. So you really need to understand this verse. It says, John 10:10, the thief, who's the thief? The thief does not come except to steal. See, this is his purpose. In this verse is the purpose for the enemy, is the purpose for Jesus, why he came. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, how many want, you know, some stealing, killing, and destroying in your life? Who wants some more of that? If you raise your hand, I'll probably have to counsel with you after service today. But that's what Satan, the enemy, the thief, wants to do in your life. And so we say that bad things come from the enemy. Negative things, bad things in our lives. And anything that's stealing, killing, and destroying in your family, in your business, in your life, that's from the enemy. And we know that through Jesus, we've got power over the enemy. So that we know that we can stand against that. We have authority to stop these things in our lives. Then Jesus says this, I have come. I have come. This is why He came. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And that word abundantly, in just in itself, is an awesome word, abundant. But it means superabundant, overflowing. You ever had something that's overflowing? Overflowing, over and above, extraordinary. Jesus makes the ordinary extraordinary. And I'll say this, that the worst possible day you can have as a believer is better than the best day you had without Jesus. He just makes your life extraordinary. He adds life to it. And it just doesn't go on in this life. I mean, this life is but a vapor. This life is just a short time. Eternity is forever. And this abundant life goes on forever for somebody that's a believer. So we have to know that God is a good God. Everybody say that. God is a good God. Say the devil is a bad devil. And good things in our life come from Him. And He's not mad at you. That's one thing we talk about here. He's for you. He's wanting to bless you, not curse you. He wants to bring life. You know, our mission here, what this church does on a daily basis, is to empower people to give life. That's what we do. And we have a scriptural reference, precedent for that. Jesus came to give life. Well, we're in Christ. So this church's purpose is to bring life. We're not going to steal from you. I'm not planning on killing anybody today. We're Good News Church. And we're a life-giving church. And we're raising up life-givers. All right, let's look over in Luke chapter 4. Because let's look at what this life does in our lives. What this life looks like. Anybody here have any problems today? Anybody here has something in their life that may not working out right? Anybody here has some drama? Y'all know what I mean by drama? Well, you're in the right place today. Because listen to this verse here. Luke 4, verse 16. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version. You know, I study from my main Bible that I read from is New King James, but I study from other different Bible translations. We study from the Amplified, the New Living Bible, the NIV, the Message Translation. So if the translation that you're reading isn't making any sense, talk to me after service and we'll find you another one that, because we should be, when we're reading the Word, it should be coming alive. But so I'm reading this particular scripture from the Amplified Version. It just amplifies words. Luke 4 verse 16 says this, "So he came to Nazareth, where he has been brought up, and he entered the synagogue as was his custom on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And there was handed to him the roll of the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened, unrolled the book, and found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me,'" the anointed one, the Messiah, "'to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor.'" See, this is what he does. This is what he was doing then. That's what he's doing today. And every one of us are poor in some way. If you're without him today, you're poor. But every one of us has areas in our lives where we're poor. And he has good news for us today. "He has sent me to announce release to the captives, recovery of the sight to the blind, to send forth as deliver those who are oppressed." Anybody here who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, broken down by calamity, "to proclaim the acceptable and accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and free favors of God profusely abound." That's the time we're living in. We're in the time of God's favor. Time of His mercy, time of His grace, time of His blessing, time of His helping folks. That's what season we're in. Profusely abound. There's that word again, abound. "Then he rolled up the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue were gazing intently on him, at him. And he began to speak to them, 'Today, this scripture has been fulfilled while you are present and hearing.'" Jesus came to preach the gospel. He came to preach the good news to the poor. He came to preach to people that are hurting. He came to preach that have been harassed by the devil, have been in slavery to him, in bondage, addiction, sin, mistakes, drama, pressure. And he came with a message to help people. And it wasn't just 2,000 years ago. It's the same today. And so today we're talking about one story. And in a little while we're going to have some people come up with some cardboards. We call it cardboard testimonies. And on one side they'll have the situation they were in. Some stealing, some killing, some destroying, something the enemy was trying to do to hurt them, to take their life, some bondage he had them in. And then we'll turn it around the other side and we'll see what Jesus has done. How he brought change. See, the gospel is the story, it's the message of transformation. It's a message of change. It's the message that your life can be better. Your life can be extraordinary. The power of God, the great I am, can come on the scene. And sometimes it's in an instant. Sometimes it's over a period of time, but it doesn't really matter because transformation and change, when you meet Jesus, when you invite Him into your life, if you'll open your heart to Him, He will come in and not condemn you, not beat you down, not harass you, not make you feel bad about your past, but He'll lift you up. He'll bring encouragement. And you read through the scriptures and the Bible, all the people's stories. I mean, think about Moses. Moses was a murderer. Moses is someone that ran away from, you know, what he was to do. He fled in terror. Couldn't speak in front of people. But God used him to deliver a nation. Think about David. David was an adulterer. He was a murderer. Became one of the greatest kings in all of the history of Israel. How about Peter? Who loves Peter? Peter's my favorite because he makes me feel good. He was always getting in trouble. Always had a lot of drama going on. He's the guy that, you know, said he wouldn't deny Jesus, and he did. He died not just once, but three times. And I was thinking about this. He's the guy in the garden that cuts the temple guard's ear off. Now, we just kind of read over that, but I don't think that Peter was this delicate swordsman that he was trying to cut his ear off. I see Peter with one of these big swords, with a big blade, ready to do some damage. And I don't think he was trying to cut his ear off. I think he was trying to slice the guy's head off. And you know, you think about that today, if we were to do that today, you'd be in jail. Thank God Jesus was there, took the guy's ear, put it back on his head, and he was healed. But look at Peter, what the transformation that he had, leading people to Jesus, head of the church. How about Paul, the Apostle Paul, the guy that had the greatest revelation really of any man besides Jesus. Brought us 2/3 of the New Testament, brought revelations in the earth and things that had never been heard before. This guy murdered, you know, had Christians murdered and enjoyed it. Took pleasure in rounding people up and having them stoned. I mean, that's a pretty messy way to die, is to stand there and watch someone being stoned to death. But he took pleasure in that. That's a sick guy. And he was doing it in the guise of religion. Thought he was pleasing God. So the Bible is a story of transformations. I mean, I think about my life. When I got saved at 19, alcoholic, suicidal. I mean, I don't look like... And Martha, I grew up in a great home. Loving parents. All the things anybody could want. But for whatever reason, because of the enemy who steals, kills, and destroys, I had so much pain and hurt in my life that I covered it up with alcohol. Just to feel better. And it wouldn't just take one beer or two. I mean, my guys that I ran with, we were hardcore. I mean, they used to have, and I'm not trying to encourage anybody here, but the cases of beer, 24 beers. I could drink 24 of them. For a little guy, I was a little skinnier than I am now, 50 pounds lighter. I had days where I don't know how I got home. I mean, that's a good feeling for my parents to know. I didn't tell them this, but I don't know. I was driving their car. I don't know how I got home. And I thank God at 19 that someone introduced me to Jesus, because Jesus came into my heart and He set me free, and now I want to live. I don't need alcohol or drugs to make me high. I got Jesus. I'm high on Him. Now I'm about to read you some of my favorite verses. I know I say that for every scripture I read, but I'm about to read some script. I mean, I absolutely love, I mean, this could you be, I could just read this and this will be the sermon. 2 Corinthians 5. Really, the foundation for this church, what we're all about, our vision and our mission, it's all found in these verses here. So much in here. But I just want to, as I read these today, and I'm going to read this in the Message translation, so you may want to follow along on the screen. I just want, for people here that's got problems, people that are hurting, people that are lost, people that are afraid, I just want these words just to soak in and just to bring hope. Because this is what God wants for you. Every single one of us, no matter what, where we're at, what we've done, did a lot of stupid things. But His grace was greater than my sin. But look at this. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, Message translation. Our firm decision is to work from this focus center. One man died for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone. Everyone's included in His death, so that everyone could also be included in His life. A resurrection life. I love that. A resurrection life. Taking something that's dead and resurrecting it. A far better life than people ever lived on their own. Talking about living their own way. Because of this decision, and that's what it is. I mean, we make a decision. Every day we're making decisions. And I thank God when I was 19, I made a decision to ask Jesus to come into my heart. And see, you have to be willing. You have to have your eyes open and to be able to see your situation and say, I need a Savior. I've been trying this on my own. I can't do it. I can't make it. My way is just ending in disaster every time. And I just need help. And it's no different now in my life. Same thing now. If I want the Savior to work in my life now, I have to be open. I have to be willing. I have to let Him come. If I think I've arrived and I can do it on my own, I can fall back into the same things I dealt with 30 years ago. He wants that resurrection life for me now, just like He did 30 years ago. Just like He did when I was born 50 years ago. It hasn't changed. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at Him that way anymore. Now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah, talking about Jesus, opening your heart to Him, gets a fresh start. Who wants a fresh start today? Anybody here need a fresh start? Is created new. The old life is gone. A new life versions. Look at it. All this comes from God, who settled the relationship between us and Him and then called us to settle our relationship with each other. God put the world square with Himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start. There's that word again. By offering forgiveness of sins. Some people here today, I mean, you just got a weight on your shoulders. Your life hasn't been what you wanted. Life hasn't gone well necessarily for you. And it's like the weight of it's on your shoulders. You can tangibly feel it. The sin, the mistakes, the failure. It's a tangible thing. Giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. There's forgiveness today. Forgiveness will ease that burden. It'll take it from you. God has given us the task of telling everyone what He is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and to enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ Himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask? In Christ. God put the wrong on Him who never did anything wrong, so we could be put right with God. And see, one thing we're learning about being a church of life givers, we realize this is who we are too. That not only has our lives been changed, now we bring change. We bring change. And we get excited about that when people at Good News Church step out and love people and care for people and minister to people. But see, this change, this transformation can come several ways. And he said about here about being a new creation, the New King James says, old things passed away, all things become new. See, when you're born again, and when I say that, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, Romans chapter 10 says, when you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess Him as your Lord, the Bible says you'll be saved. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says that man is a spirit, a soul, and a body. The spirit of a person is the real person on the inside. My soul is my mind, my will, and my emotions. And what you're seeing right now is my body. But the real person is the spirit on the inside. And when a person is born again, this is why they call it being born again. Because your spirit, before you met Jesus, was dead to God. Was not alive to God. But when you open your heart to God, Jesus came in and He recreated, made brand new that spirit on the inside. And that was instantaneous. So this transformation, this change we're talking about, it can be instantaneous. And we've had that. People being healed instantaneously. When I got saved, I was delivered from alcohol. Never had a problem again 30 years later. Just set free. In a moment, I was just set free. Now, I know we all love that. And I wish every situation when I'm dealing with people, that's what happened. But He can bring financial miracles. He can bring miracles in your body. He can change you spiritually in a moment. And I'm believing for that today. I'm believing for miracles today. I'm believing for astonishing things, for the great I Am to be right here and to bring deliverance and set people free. All those things from Luke chapter 5. Blind eyes open. People with hurting hearts. Anybody here got a broken heart? You just been hurt? Your heart's broken? Luke 4 says He brings healing. I think we'll have some broken hearts here set free today. So it can be instantaneous, but also God does things other ways. Look over in Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1, and I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. Says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform." Everybody say transform. "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." That word transform in the Greek is the word metamorpho. What's that sound like, Eddie?
Metamorphosis.
Meta means to exchange or change. Morpho means appearance. So the word transform there is talking about being changed in your appearance from one appearance to another. And we know the whole process of a butterfly turning into, a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And that's really the way that what Jesus does. We're kind of crawling along. We're in a dangerous place. But the power of God comes and changes us. And then we really begin to fly. Our life turns into something beautiful. Now, I'm not standing here and say we never have any problems or, as long as there's an enemy out there, we're going to have situations we deal with. But how much stronger are we when we have Jesus on our side? The Bible says that we're more than conquerors. The Bible says that He always causes us to triumph. The Bible says that all things are possible to those that believe. So whether it's an instantaneous, a miracle, changes your appearance, or whether it's a process through the renewing of your mind, which is really, in essence, It can be the stronger transformation, because I've seen people that have had instantaneous miracles lose those miracles because their minds weren't renewed. So even if you have the instantaneous changed in a moment, you still need to learn about what happened. And the Word does that. The Word washes our minds. See, our spirits are born again. Our spirits are changed in an instant. But what happens as we grow as believers, our souls and our bodies catch up with our spirit. Our spirits are alive to God, created in His image. We're in Christ. All the promises of the Bible are yes and amen. Everything is ours at that moment that we're born again. But then there's a process of learning who we are. God wants to take some caterpillars in your life and turn them into butterflies. God wants to do some resurrecting, some dead things today. God wants to do some miracles. He wants to heal some bodies. He wants to reconcile and bring people together. See, the message of the gospel is one of hope. But you know, it's sad sometimes. It's almost easier talking to a non-believer. Sometimes it's harder for this message to reach the believers because we've just gotten so callous sometimes. Many believers look at their glory days are in the past. Well, wasn't that awesome what God did, you know, 30 years ago and 15 years ago? Hey, I tell you, Jesus is alive. He's doing the same things in our lives. Not just in the history of man. Yesterday, today, and forever, He's the same God. And He's wanting to bring transformation today. But the question is, are we going to open our hearts? And if you're sitting there, you know, fear just, you know, that's one thing I dealt with when I was younger. Fear. Fear holds us back from stepping out and doing things. He wants you free from that. I want to see some butterflies flying out of here today. I want to see some people that came here one way and leaving another way. I want you today to meet this Jesus. Whether you never met Him before or you've been walking with Him, maybe just something fresh, something new today. Some of you have gotten hard-hearted and just the cares of the world and just life itself has just hardened your heart and you've been away from God. Hey, today's the day to come back. Some of you have been putting up with stuff in your life, some stealing, killing, and destroying, and just saying, well, that's okay, kind of petting. Hey, today, let's just say, we'll be free of that. So we're about, in just a moment here, to have some folks come up, and I'm just going to believe, even though there's no words being spoken, that these cardboard testimonies will minister to you today. And I believe even during this part of the service, I'm believing for the power of God to flow into this place. And these testimonies, I mean, just show you how good God is. If He's did it for these folks, He'll do it for you. He's no respecter of persons. But we've got to open our hearts. We've got to let Him in. He's the Savior. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. So as the band is coming, let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that soften people's hearts. That they may be open right now to You and to the Spirit of God. Minister to people, Father. Even as they're sitting in their seats, minister to people. Holy Spirit, You touch people right where they're at. And we thank You for transformations and changes occurring even today, right now. I ask You for that right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.